from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Oakland teachers have voted to go on strike. The teachers' union says 95% of teachers voted to authorize the walkout, which they say will likely begin at the end of this month. The two sides are far apart. Teachers are asking for a 12% raise over 3 years, pointing to higher wages in neighboring districts, and the Oakland Unified School District is offering a 5% pay hike. The vote comes as the school district is considering closing schools and other budget cuts as it faces a $30 million shortfall next year. We'll talk about it next after the news. Welcome to this morning's Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny. Oakland's public school teachers are set to go on strike. The union announced the results of their vote yesterday, and they say 95% of voting members approve the strike, including veteran teacher Rosenda Thomas.
Even though I'm going to retire in the next 2 years, I'm doing it for the fact that I've got to leave something here for other teachers. We have to fight this district to get everything that we want for the future of our students.
Teachers want a 12% pay raise and smaller class sizes, and the school district facing large budget shortfalls is offering 5%. Joining us to talk about the potential strike here in studio is Deirdre Snyder. She's treasurer of the Oakland Education Association, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Glad to have you, and also glad to have John Sasaki, who joins us by phone. He's director of communications with the Oakland Unified School District. Welcome, John Sasaki.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And let me begin, Deirdre Snyder, with you. 95% is pretty high. Very few dissenters in this, I take it. And it's mainly, as I said, about money and class size?
No, actually, it's about the future of public education and therefore democracy in this country. The school district has a new paradigm, and they want to have a district that has a portfolio, which is charter schools, innovation schools, and the public schools who pick up the mess with the more difficult students.
And yet, the impasse seems to be over. I mean, they're offering a 5% raise. The union wants a 12% raise, wants lower class sizes because classes are simply too big. And those are the main issues, at least, that we're reading about.
Yes, that's what you're reading about, because that's what we can put into a contract. But the fact is, this idea that there's a budget shortfall is kind of crazy, because they're moving money out of materials. It had $40 million in it, but they've only spent $1 million.
Well, wait a minute. There isn't a $30 million budget shortfall, you're saying?
It's unclear, but they are also extreme. They're overspending. They are not following their budget. And I don't know where the budget had been for our superintendent to hire two new deputy after she says we have no money for teachers and no money for smaller class sizes. She hired two deputy superintendents, one for innovation schools, which is this new model, and the other for charters. I don't understand why we're spending money on more high administrators. Since the 1980s, it's been proven that the Oakland School District is bloated with downtown administrators.
Well, the argument that I hear is also not only administrators being bloated, but too many contracts and too many counselors.
Absolutely. Well, consultants.
Consultants, excuse
right.
me, yeah.
And I looked at the list of consultants the other day, and many of them receive very large contracts for basically explaining to the district how to use the technology they've bought.
John Sasaki, this is an argument that we're hearing recurring through the years, also along with terrible mismanagement. There's been a lot of indictment about mismanagement, overspending on administrators, counselors, and the like, and yet everybody says the teachers deserve more pay and they need more pay. Help us understand the division or the chasm here.
Well, everybody here at the district certainly agrees that the teachers should be paid more. That is something that we are all very focused on making sure happens. We have made the offer that we did. You mentioned it earlier. And we're looking to find middle ground with the teachers' union. Now, I did want to point out, just in the case of the two individuals that were just mentioned, that one of them is not a deputy chief here in the district. One is a director of charter schools, and that person had to be hired. We had to have that person brought in to run that office. The other one, the deputy chief of innovation, that's someone who we brought in to make sure that we're executing our citywide plan the way we need to going into the future. So those things we had to do going forward. This is about building the future. And so it's not, you know, this is not an either or. We're not hiring them and not giving, you know, raises to the teachers. That's not going to happen.
Let me get a response to what you just said from Deirdre Snyder.
5% when we have been the lowest in this area, and if you take a national rating of teacher salaries, adjusting for cost of living, Oakland is in the bottom 10 in the nation.
Second lowest among 107 districts right here in the Bay Area.
Yes.
15th lowest for entry-level salaries. But the answer that we often hear from the other side is you get full health benefits for your family or for a full-time teacher.
That's correct. That's up to like $13,000 a year for a family.
You can't pay rent with your benefits for your health care. The other issue is that Mr. Sasaki was right, that they're following their plan, which is the board policy 6006, which sets up this portfolio district. That's their plan. And one of the most horrendous things, and one of the reasons we had 95%, and we had an incredible outpouring of people voting this time, this was really phenomenal, is because they closed Roots International Academy, and especially after these children came and said, we need this school, we care about it. And the district is saying, no, you're low performing, so we're going to get rid of you. That's the portfolio. It's as if it were stock. These are not widgets. These are our children. This is the future of Oakland, and they deserve to have intense attention and care so that they can become the leaders of tomorrow.
Let me also add, because I don't know how many people are familiar with this rather shocking statistic, but 70% of these students, these children that you speak about, are low income, mm-hmm. or from foster families, or homeless, or English learners. I mean, falling into any of those categories. And clearly, the teachers are in a terrible quandary here, John Sasaki, because of the cost of living in Oakland, in addition to the responsibilities that they carry on their shoulders. And essentially, you're saying we can't afford to pay them what they're asking for. Maybe you can come to a figure in between that 5% and 12%. But it's also about class size, and it's also about the concern over just resources for faculty as well. I mean, there are a lot of issues that have come up here, serious issues.
Certainly, there have been. And I wanted to point out that the closure of Roots is not about anything that we're talking about. That's part of the citywide plan, and a big part of the reason that we decided to do that is that it's an underperforming school and that students aren't getting the attention and the support that we need them to get. And by closing Roots, we're going to be taking those students and putting them in other higher-performing schools, in which statistics show generally helps them with their own performance. So that's going to benefit the students in the long run. It's going to hurt now, and we understand that the students are upset that the school is going away, and which any student at any school would be. They love their schools, they love their communities, but this is about the long-term benefit of the district and the long-term benefit of our students. That being said, you know, that it is we do have an issue. We have a budget deficit that we have to close in order for us to sustain the long-term health of our district as well. And so in order to do that, we have to make cuts, and those cuts are going to hurt. They're going to be here at the central office, but a good deal of what we do at the central office serves directly into the schools. So all those things together, it's going to be difficult. And one of the things that we're doing in making these cuts is finding money in order to give a raise to our teachers that deserve it and to the other support staff that deserves it, because we know how expensive it is to live here in Oakland and in the Bay Area. And we know everyone agrees, everyone from the board, the superintendent, everyone in the district agrees that teachers deserve to be paid more. And we want to see that happen. So it's just a matter of how much we can pay them more.
Well, there was a state bailout money plan, and the district had to show it was moving forward to get some of that revenue. But the fact is there was also a parcel tax that was passed, Measure G1. There was Jerry Brown, when he was governor, had an education bill, and Governor Newsom is talking about more money for the schools. Does this all figure into the picture?
Well, Measure G1 is a very big benefit to us, and we thank the Oakland voters for passing it. That's a big part of what we're talking about here. Some of that money will go directly to support raises for our teachers and other staff, and that's fantastic. We thank the voters for it. The governor's budget, and we're excited by the things we've heard from Sacramento. Some of the things that have come out of the governor's office have sounded very promising, but it's still very early in Governor Newsom's tenure as governor, and so we'll wait to see what exact kind of change is going to come from that, because things could change between now and the time that the budget is finalized. So we're holding back until we know exactly what's coming to the district.
Well, what are you looking at here? I mean, in terms of the bigger picture, more immediately.
As far as cuts we have to make?
Yeah.
We're looking up to $30 million going into next school year. And that's after 2 years of budget cuts that we've done across the district over the past 2 years. So it's going to hurt.
You haven't had a contract since 2017, though, and you've got 95% of the teachers who are talking about a walkout, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, we're certainly hopeful that we can come to an agreement before something like that happens. The last thing that anybody in this district wants is a strike. We know the teachers don't want it. We know our students and families don't want it, and certainly the administration here doesn't want it. So we're going to see if we can nail down a contract that is both sustainable for the teachers and for us and makes everybody happy.
Will closing schools save money?
No.
So as part of our long-term plan for the district, the citywide plan for the district, it's about saving money, and it's about consolidating resources so the schools that we still have more resources to can support our students better. It's a combination of things.
That's John Sasaki. He's Director of Communications for the Oakland Unified School District. Deirdre Snyder is here with us in studio. She's Treasurer of the Oakland Education Association. And Deirdre, there's a fact-finding report that's out in the next couple of weeks. And can you talk about what's in it and how it plays into the timeline?
Yes. The school board the OUSD presented their vision of what the problems are, and Oakland Education Association, we presented our side. Theirs was a little bit disorganized, so I think that we'll see what happens. The issue is not just teacher salaries. I do want to be really clear about that. We are fighting for education, and the ways that we can say that are we need smaller class size, particularly in the schools where there's over 75% in all.
Forgive me, Deirdre, but I think, John Sasaki, you don't think the classes are too big, perhaps?
In some cases, there may be some overcrowded classes, but we have a higher teacher-to-student ratio than most other districts in the area and most other districts that we're compared with. So we feel like we're on good footing there, but we are trying to improve things for our teachers, certainly.
Well, when Deirdre Snyder talks about other issues, let me talk about a poll that's 67% of employees, that is teachers, who are queried said that low salaries was the main reason they would leave the district, so there's this attrition problem as well. But that was closely followed by housing prices at 61%, lack of adequate supplies at 61%, and lack of job support at 45%. And we've talked to a lot of teachers here from our newsroom and our coverage of this, and a lot of teachers feel unappreciated as well. So let me give out a number. We're going to hear certainly from Oakland teachers if they'd like to join us, or people in the district. But also, many of you may want to weigh in here because there is a teacher movement around the country. There was the L.A. strike, and there's strikes going on everywhere, talks of strikes going on everywhere throughout the nation, and you may want to indeed let us know what your thoughts are on this or any questions you have to raise about the Oakland pending strike. There were a couple of walkouts. They were not sanctioned by the union, but now we have really the imminent strike possibility. Join us toll-free at 866-733-6786. We welcome your involvement in the program and encourage you to let your voices be heard. And again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can join us right now. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website and posting any questions or comments you have on the website at kqed.org/forum. Simply click on this segment. You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. A number of ways that you can be part of this program, and we invite you, indeed, to join the program. We're talking again with Deirdre Snyder, here in studio, treasurer of the Oakland Education Association, and John Sasaki, director of communications with the Oakland Unified School District. Deirdre, you're talking about the fact that this is not so much about money, perhaps, as it is about other things, about changing the whole paradigm. How do you negotiate to change a whole paradigm like that?
Piece by piece. And I do want to point out one of the things that is sort of the disinformation that the district puts out. They're saying that this is there's a lower teacher ratio. But the problem is that in Oakland, because of our extremely high poverty rate, we have kids, it's over 18% of our student population is in special education classes. And those cannot be larger than, for severe, it's, well, we have 10. And then for a regular special day class, that's 15 maximum. Those are maximums. That's way too much. So if you have a class of 40 regular kids, and which is over contract, 32 is what it's supposed to be. And then I'm speaking from a high school teacher. And then you average it with the high number of special ed classes we have. It makes it look like we have a lower, but that's not the reality.
Can I get you to address that, John Sasaki?
Well, certainly. As I said, we know that there are classes that are overcrowded and that we want to make sure that we bring in the proper staff to support those. And this is something we're certainly working with the union to figure out a solution to this issue. I did want to mention, by the way, you mentioned L.A. and the other kind of movements going on across the country. And it's we agree with the teachers here in Oakland. We agree with the teachers in L.A. We agree with teachers across the country that we need more money in education. Bottom line is, here in California especially, we are the fifth largest economy in the world, and we rank in the bottom 20% of all states when it comes to per-student funding for education. So that has to change. And frankly, it really has to change across the country, because we are talking about, as Deirdre said, we are talking about building the future. This is about supporting our leaders of tomorrow, and we need to provide them the best possible education we can.
And you've got to attract new teachers. There's a whole recruitment challenge in all this.
Absolutely.
And there's a tweet from a listener, and let me go to you on this, Deirdre Snyder, says, how come the teachers' union did not wait for the fact-finding committee to announce for the possibility of a strike? The strike that happened in the 90s caused irreparable damage in the district. Is that being considered by the union?
Yes, but L.A. took their strike vote long before the fact-finding even started. So we waited until then. It was closer to the end. And people should know that there is incredible frustration and that we have been really disrespected in this whole process. So
by whom?
By the district.
And disrespected in what ways?
In the sense that they have made really no progress at all. What they offered before the mediator came in and forced them to offer us 5% over 3 years, their last offer before that had been that we would work more hours, and so it was effectively a negative half of a percent. That's not a raise. So, it's disrespectful because our bargaining team came up with a whole cleaned up salary schedule, and they just threw it away and didn't even respond with anything else. There has not been a real, genuine engagement about this process.
And do you say what to that, John Sasaki?
I do believe that our staff has been very engaged in this process. In fact, I know that our labor relations team let the union know back in December that we had another offer ready to present them, and we wanted to have them come back to the table and present it to them. And as far as I know, that never happened. So I know that there is, you know, we are looking to move, and we're looking to find a solution that satisfies both sides.
And how long a strike are you willing to actually partake here in, Deirdre Snyder?
Until we win. I mean, that's
as long as necessary, in other words.
And we do have enormous support. It's I had to arrange a meeting at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday of all the people who want to support in the gathering food for this project, because we are going to feed the children during the strike, the ones who depend on free and reduced lunches. And there's a lot of community involvement in this.
And here's a practical question. Actually, it could go to either one of you. Dave in Oakland wants to know, is there an independent auditor who's checked the finances of the Oakland Unified School District? I don't believe the numbers of the district or of the teachers' union. Is there an independent source which can confirm any waste, fraud, or abuse? Sasaki, John Sasaki, go to you first. Yeah.
Well, I can certainly tell you that I don't know specifically about independent auditor, but I can say that the state knows that we have a deficit. The county knows that we have a deficit. So you know, this is not our staff making these numbers up. This is a reality that we face.
And from your perspective, Deirdre Steiner?
My perspective is that the district has received more money per student, and it hasn't made its way into the classroom. It has been eaten up by all of these administrators. And I do not understand why we need to have innovation schools, except that the district has decided to have this portfolio model, which to me is completely, it's like what Mr. Sasaki was saying previously, that the kids will be hurt now, but it'll be better in the long run. No, they do not have a plan for what they are going to do for those Roots children. And as a teacher and as a human being, you could not be in their restorative justice circle that they forced on the school board and not see that they are severely impacted and they need to stay with their teachers who are supporting them and making them successful, and sending them all across town to some other school. That's not treating them like human beings.
This has loomed over the whole debate, John Sasaki. I mean, the role of charter schools and all this. Can I get you to address it?
Well, the charter schools are certainly part of our district. They provide a quality education to many, many students here in Oakland. But having charter schools in California does present some challenges to school districts, because of the fact that they have right of first refusal in some cases for property when property becomes open. It makes it difficult for some school districts, and there's actually talk at the state level of possibly changing the charter law to allow districts to deny charters who, you know, might adversely affect the bottom line of the district if they're in more challenging times. That being said, you know, there have been cases where OUSD's Board of Education has turned down a charter application, and then it's gone to the county, and the county's approved it. Or if the county has turned it down, then the state approves it. That happened last year. So you can have a Board of Education say, no, they don't want a charter in you know, given the circumstances that exist in that district, and then the state in the end will approve it. So there are challenges that are faced by districts that, you know, with regard to charters.
All right, I want to read a couple comments as we come up on the break here. A listener writes, teachers are woefully underpaid and egregiously overworked all over the Bay Area. I'm not sure how much good the strike will ultimately do, but I'm all for it. The public needs to realize that the alternative to education is ignorance, and that ignorance is the door eager to get in and take over. Another listener tweets, and quick question for you, John Sasaki. We got seconds here, but he wants to know, has OUSD considered reducing or reallocating administrative salaries to help teachers?
There is going to be major cuts coming to central office. There a lot of people are going to get laid off, unfortunately, and they're all part of the OUSD family. We all work in support of our students, so it's going to hurt.
All right, and we're going to hear from our listeners when we return. Stay on the lines. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about the fact that Oakland teachers are set to strike. There's a 95% vote, and 95% of the teachers are ready to go and are mobilizing. John Sasaki with us, directs communications for the Oakland Unified School District, and Deirdre Steiner here in studio is treasurer of the Oakland Education Association. And if you're on the line, hang on. We want to hear what you have to say. But let's go first to Michael Kirst, who is former president of the California State Board of Education, professor emeritus of education at Stanford University's Graduate School of Education, and longtime friend of the Forum program. And Michael Kirst, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I guess the place to begin with you is just a little historical perspective, if we could. The state has already bailed out the Oakland Unified School District. What can the state do now, or what should the state do?
Well, the state has bailed Oakland out twice in 2003 to 2009 when Jerry Brown was governor, at the start of that, the state provided $100 million in a loan, the largest in state history. My information is that $40 million is still left on that loan, and I don't know how that plays into this picture at this point. The state has also revamped its finance formula to pour money into districts like Oakland that have high percentages of low-income children and children with special needs. That money has, however, been affected by the declining enrollment in Oakland and the charter school losses, so they lose pupils, and therefore they lose state payments for each pupil. But the latest encounter is really significant because the state provided about $35 million in the 2018 budget for effective 2019, and they will pay this money out if Oakland meets mandated state benchmarks to get the state money by cutting about $30 million initially, which has been the figure used here today. And the state has final say about whether Oakland is meeting these mandates, and the payments from the state to bail out Oakland are contingent on them making these cuts. And I think the bottom line here is that the state is trying to help Oakland, but it is really has drawn the line and saying, and here is the bottom line, if you don't do this, the state will take over the district as it did in 2003. So the state appoints a trustee. All powers of the Oakland School Board and the Oakland community are abrogated to this state trustee, who is literally a dictator about cuts. Oakland has been through this before in the 2003-2009 era. So I think that there's a huge player out there, the state, that has to be taken into account. At the bottom of this is state responsibility to see that children are educated, and local districts can be overridden. And the state looked carefully at the Alameda County Civil Grand Jury's findings that the local Oakland district had lost control of its spending, said the grand jury. There were system-wide fiscal failures, excessive hiring, and so on. So Oakland's on a very short leash from the state perspective.
That's an appropriate way to describe it. I wonder if you'd say something, though, about how pensions and pension payouts figure into this whole picture fiscally?
Well, districts are and responsible for pension payments and health care payments also. The pension is a state system, and those payments have to go up because the pension benefits are not fully funded by the state, and Oakland is, like every other district in the state, is being squeezed by that, and then the health benefits to retirees. So down in Los Angeles, 37% of LA's budget is paid out to people who no longer work for the school district. They are retired and receiving pensions, or they are on a health and welfare, a health program that they negotiated. So, yes, this is another factor. And so it's a terribly difficult situation. At the bottom of this, the power is with the local school board, and not with the administrators. They're the ones that have to make these cuts. They're elected in Oakland. And the state is watching very closely. And, you know, you got to look at this from the standpoint of state taxpayers. Why should we be paying money into Oakland if they're not getting their act together?
Michael Kirst, always good to have you aboard here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Michael Kirst, former president of the California State Board of Education and professor emeritus of education at Stanford's Graduate School of Education. A listener says, I worked for the Oakland Unified School District for 1 year and experienced incredible mismanagement and lack of classroom support for very high-need students. I left for another district. With the increase in property values and subsequently increased tax revenue, how can the district claim there is a drop in funding? It's time to audit OUSD and make transparent how all funds are used. And another listener writes, what's the plan to feed the many OUSD students who depend on free and reduced price breakfast, lunch, and supper? Can you address that, John Sasaki, before we go to our callers?
I sure can. I can tell you that our schools will remain open if there is a strike. Our schools will remain open. One of the primary reasons is we know that our students and families depend on our schools being open, that in many cases our families can't afford to have their kids at home, can't afford to stay at home with them, can't afford to hire anybody to take care of them. And that in many cases that also goes to food. Our kids depend on the food that they get every day, so that's one of the big reasons that we're going to be open. I also did want to mention, you know, there's been a lot of talk about consultants and contracts. Quite a bit of our budget does go to consultants and contracts, something in the neighborhood of $67 million. But I wanted to point out a couple of things about that. One, $40 million of that is restricted funding, which we can't cut and then turn into raises for staff. Of the remaining money, $27 million or so, $4.5 million of that were contracts or consultants hired directly by schools that serve directly at the school's discretion. And then beyond that, of the $22 million or so, half of that goes to pay for special ed transportation. So there are contracts that we have to have that go directly to support our students. And in the case of special ed student transportation, we're required to give that by state law.
All right, Deirdre Steiner, you wanted to respond here because we want to get our callers in,
yes,
too.
Just quickly, the union is working with a variety of community groups to make sure that we have a food distribution network throughout the strike.
Okay, and again, if you want to join us, the number to call is 866-733-6786. Let's go to your calls, and let's begin, Benji, with you from Oakland. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm a former OUSD teacher and former OEA employee, and I wanted to address one thing and ask a question. With regards to class size, clearly there are other districts that have similar class sizes as in Oakland, but Oakland has a higher percentage of students living with trauma, coming from poverty, homelessness, foster youth, and so on. And so we absolutely need a lower class size in order to make that happen. And I'm wondering if John Sasaki could address, has the district done an actual cost-benefit analysis of what it would mean to close up to 24 schools in the next 4 years? Because clearly it's going to cost a ton of money to support students moving all over the district. And are they going to provide transportation from all the kids who live near routes to go all over the city?
Reasonably good question, John Sasaki.
The staff has been doing analysis of what the impact will be if we close schools, if we consolidate schools, if we redesign schools, perhaps. A gentleman just did mention this number 24, and that's not a real number. That number came from a study that we did based solely on the numbers we have in the district of schools and students, how many schools we could close, but nothing here in OUSD is done solely based on numbers. So that's not a real number. The plans do not involve 24 schools, and certainly when it comes to closures, it is not a case where we're talking about actually closing down schools and leaving the city.
Aren't you shutting down about a dozen schools? That's at least what's been reported.
So for example, we right now are consolidating two co-located middle schools on 98th Avenue, Elmhurst Community Prep and Alliance Academy. Those are being consolidated. So essentially one of those schools is being closed, but all the students are going to remain at that school. So it depends on your definition of closed. One of those schools is closing, but the other will absorb everything else.
Let me thank the caller, Benji, and go right to another caller, and that's you. Tiffany, join us. You're on the air.
Hi, I work for San Francisco Unified, and, our student population is really getting impacted by trauma and poverty, and Oakland is, that much worse in dealing with that. And that's when they're talking to build on what Benji said, it's not just that you need a smaller class size. You need trained professionals that know how to take care of traumatized children and do trauma work so that they can access learning. So just having bodies in the room isn't good enough, right? And that's what, the districts need to be listening to their teachers, to what they really currently need in their classrooms, because they're not. They're getting consultants that teachers don't want, that maybe groups of administrators decide are good for the classroom, but that's not really what they need. So I'd like to hear how they can listen to teachers. That's what teachers really need.
To
get a living wage,
I thank you for that call, and thank you for speaking up as a teacher in the San Francisco Unified School District about teachers in general. I just want to read a couple comments from parents, though, because we're getting different kind of views here. Kira writes, I'm a parent of two OUSD students, and we support our teachers in their strike for quality schools for all Oakland students. The district and the board have mismanaged their finances and are extremely top-heavy. We will hold our kids out as long as the teachers are on the line. We will walk with them. We will share food, and we will make sure the kids and teachers are supported. On the other hand, here's Jessica, who says, I am a working OUSD parent. I don't want my child's school year and my breadwinning workday impacted by a strike. This will be bad, but the daily situation in the schools is already unacceptable, and striking is looking more and more like the only leverage we have. So there, Deirdre Steiner, are two parents who look at this from a somewhat of a different view, but they both say this is necessary.
Yes, and we understand that. And OEA can't completely take on establishing where kids can go, but we are very aware of the problem that this causes. So we're trying to work with the parents at each school site to work together to decide how you can set up child care patterns. And in the last, sort of as a last resort, strike schools or solidarity schools, and these can also be places where the food can get distributed as well. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work to replace having open schools, but we're doing that. We're working with community and parents and schools to try and make it possible for the kids to be taken care of while we're on the line.
Well, we have a question, I believe it's for you, from a listener named Rachel up in Sebastopol. Rachel, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi there. I'm calling because I'm went to Oakland Public Schools. I was at Piedmont Avenue Preschool in the 80s, and there was and I remember my parents had us stay out, and we stood on the picket line with the teachers. And I'd like to know from the teachers' union what you want, if parents can offer that with their kids. Do you want kids on the picket line with you?
We would love to have you on the picket line with us. We're expecting various other unions to be there. I think we should just make it a huge picket line. And the stronger our picket lines, the more the message to the district is amplified.
And we thank Rachel for the call. Listener wants to know how much of this is really about school closures. This is another OUSD parent who says, like to know from you, Deirdre Steiner, how much the issue of school closures plays into this, roots in particular, driving the strike vote?
It's school closures because they are part of showing that the district is shifting from being a public school district to being a portfolio district that looks at schools as if they were stocks and wants to get rid of schools that are not performing instead of putting money and supports, because the Roots kids are just a perfect example of how much trauma and how much good underpaid teachers can do. But think, if we had more money, we could do a much better job with them.
Well, since you speak of having more money, here's a listener from Santa Clara, Dan, who wants to know, if Proposition 13 were not in the works here, what would it mean? Dan, go ahead and let's hear from you.
Oh, thank you. That was my question. My parents, in part, chose to settle in California because California had the shining light of public education. And then, of course, Prop 13 eviscerated that. My question is, how much of a difference would that make if we had real public funding for public schools? I just got to say, I don't like my tax money going to these charter schools. It's nonsense. And I don't like the language coming from Mr. Sasaki about these euphemistic consolidations. Sounds like business. This isn't business. This is our kids. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments and your question. I think one thing John Sasaki and Deirdre Steiner can probably agree on is that Prop 13 would make an extraordinary difference.
A very big difference.
Yeah. Yes.
And the schools were enormously, almost immeasurably affected as a result of Prop 13. Here's Liza, who says, we were projected to have a surplus, but now, due to an unexplained $65 million increase in expenditures over the last 6 months, the school board says we have a deficit. Where did this $65 million come from, and what is being spent on? What is it being spent on? Doesn't a $65 million increase in expenditures require a school board vote? The school board must explain these changing numbers before they take any more actions. Where's the money? John Sasaki.
That's a good question, and I admit that's a question I'm not prepared to answer today.
Deirdre Snyder, you want to comment on that question?
Yes, I saw those numbers this morning, and it's amazing that the district can, I mean, I'm treasurer, right? Every month we check to make sure that we're within our budget. How do you spend $65 million that weren't in your budget?
Mismanagement. I mean, that's the simplest answer, and it has been atrocious, really, for the most part.
Let me address one thing that you're talking about right there. And one of the problems that OUSD has faced over the years is a challenge that every urban school district faces. The average tenure of a superintendent in an urban school district is 2.5 to 3 years. And that's exactly what OUSD has faced. And when you have constant change at the top of your organization, it is virtually impossible to get everything under control. And I don't know if you are really familiar with all the goings on here, but being superintendent in a district like this is one of the most high pressure, high stress jobs I've ever seen. And I think that the job that our superintendent, Dr. Kyle Johnson Trammell, is doing is amazing, and it's because of the fact that she's from this area. She grew up in Oakland. She has done most of her career in education here. She was a teacher here. She was a principal here. All those things contribute to what I believe is a long tenure that she's going to have here, and the amount of change that she's affected across the district already, just in her year and a half of being at the helm here, has been remarkable, and I think that it really bodes well for the future.
Kyla Jackson, Tamil, Deirdre Snyder came into a very difficult situation. A lot of people are giving her high marks now. How do you see her tenure so far?
I understand it's extremely stressful. It's extremely stressful to be an Oakland teacher. It's an extremely stressful to be a parent in Oakland. And I would appreciate, I guess, that if the school board could direct her in a way that was not a portfolio district, and tell her that what she needs to do is to strengthen the public schools instead of cater to this new idea of innovation schools and make up, you have a charter. We $57 million a year we lose to charters, and on top of that, you're hiring somebody else to administrate them?
Well, here's a listener who wants to ask about her salary. This is David joining us from Berkeley. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, just a quick question. I went to transparentcalifornia.com, which lists public salaries. And it shows the superintendent's salaries between $600,000 and the current one is over $300,000 a year. How do they justify that and give the, you know, paying teachers below poverty wages? The benefits for the current person, for the current superintendent, is over $50,000.
John Psaki, let me go to you on this.
So my understanding of, and I don't know the intricacies of our superintendent's pay or her benefits, but I understand that she makes somewhere around $270,000 a year, which is not out of line for a superintendent of a school district like Oakland. And it is, as I said, this is a challenging job that we want to have consistency in. And so when you're faced with something like a turnover rate of every 2.5-3 years, that, you know, when you have something like that happening, what ends up being the impact is that any changes that one of those leaders puts in place don't stick. So every time you put in a new leader, you have more changes coming, and nothing actually sticks. Nothing actually makes the kind of cultural and deep-seated change that any organization like this needs in order to function and be sustainable. And so that's what, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend high pay for anybody, especially when I believe the teachers, all teachers should be paid far more. My father was a teacher at Berkeley High School for 35 years. He was in the strike back in the 70s. I know what it's like to be a teacher. And so there's nobody here, including our leadership, like Dr. Johnson Trammell, who is herself a former teacher. No one here thinks that the teachers don't deserve more.
Let me read some comments that are coming in. Richard says, whenever these debates begin, we hear two things. One, it's not about money. And two, California ranks right near the bottom in per pupil spending. If it's not about money, how about dropping that as a demand? We are taxed nearly out of existence, and a very large percentage is directed to education. On the other hand, here's Will, who says, isn't the problem that Oakland doesn't have a sufficient tax base? My well-off West San Jose school district routinely gets supplemental income from local property tax add-ons. Speaking about that, Diane writes, I agree the teachers are underpaid. However, in San Francisco, I pay two separate parcel taxes to supplement teacher pay. I work for the post office, and my next-door neighbor works for a hotel. Neither of us make as much as the teachers we are required to supplement. Getting a lot of range of ideas here, obviously, from listeners, and we're talking about the Oakland teachers being set to strike. Quick question from Lynette, who says, what's the responsibility of the state that gets paid for allowing a loss of control of the financing? Well, I think we heard from Michael Kirst on that, but you want to add anything here, Deirdre Snyder?
It seems to me that there was a real problem with the state takeover in that there was really what was needed was about $35,000. And as the time ran out, the state administrator allowed people to just spend lots and lots of money on new computer systems, which were not necessary. And so that's part of why we have this still $40 million debt.
When will you go out on strike?
After the fact-finding report
which
is
due
released.
Out February 15th,
it's,
I believe?
Yes.
Okay. Not definitely, though, but likely.
We're hoping not.
Yeah. And let me just remind listeners that this is a fundraising period for this radio station, KQED Public Radio, your radio station. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to another caller, and this is an Oakland caller. Sandy, join us. You're on the air.
Hi. My name's Colleen. I would like to just bring us back to where it should be. And I've heard lots of comments about we really need to focus on the whole child here and not lose that. And I think our teachers really, I'm an OUSD parent, and my kids have had wonderful teachers throughout the year. And I think that to address the needs of the whole child in a city like Oakland, which is very economically and racially, culturally diverse. Another caller mentioned it earlier. There's enormous chronic stress in our families that don't have housing, that don't have food, that have job challenges. And with all of this, we're not meeting our kids' needs every day when they come to school.
Colleen, we've got kind of a little bit of a foggy connection here. I'm not hearing you that well, but I get what you're saying about the need for the whole child to be met entirely by the schools and the necessity of that, and I thank you for the call. We're going to just go on to another caller, and let's go to caller joining us from L.A., and that's Joseph. Joseph, welcome.
Hello. We were a part of the L.A. strike. We have a child in the school district here. I got 2 points to make. One, I completely agree that teachers deserve to make more money. They have a very, very stressful position. But I guess the other side of it would be, teachers, they get a lot of time off. My wife and I are always joking about how much time off the teachers have at our school here, because it seems like there's always a holiday and summer and banking day. And so are the teachers considering that? Because you take a look at that caller, the postal worker who makes less than a teacher. We have a whole economy here that don't make as much money as teachers, yet they're working more hours all summer long during the holidays. That's just a point.
All right. Thank you for the point. You want to address that point, Deirdre Snyder?
Yes. I think that other workers should be paid more, too. There is an enormous income disparity in this country. That's another part of why it's important to have public schools, because what you're talking about is a very small number of extremely wealthy people, and now we have people at the bottom picking on other people at the bottom, saying, we are not the problem with each other. The problem is this income inequality, and the privatization of public schools would just contribute to that.
Deirdre Snyder is treasurer of the Oakland Education Association. Let me thank Joseph for that call from Los Angeles and go to another Oakland caller. Sandy, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, hello. I appreciate you taking my call. I am wondering why nobody's talking about the 45 charter schools in Oakland and the state's responsibility of not allowing local school boards to control the amount of number of charters coming into the district, which is leaving the most needy children in the poorest neighborhoods without resources.
Yeah, John Sasaki.
Well, one, I will say that charters are part of our district, and they're not going away. But I will say that I know that the board is working on an effort to change state charter law that would enable districts like Oakland to have more control over when a charter comes into the district.
And would that satisfy the union, Deirdre Snyder, or at least make things better?
Well, right now, we have a superintendent of public instruction who is supporting a moratorium on charters. Oakland now has a third of its students in charters. So it's already had a devastating impact.
And at this point, I think we can say that, well, how far apart are you? I mean, I don't know how this negotiation process is going to proceed, but I'd like a comment from each of you before we conclude here. Deirdre, you go first?
Yes. It's not just about money, so it would be great if the district could come up with salary, but that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is our students need to have the support of smaller classes and more support in other professionals.
John Sasaki, you get the final word. We started with Deirdre. Go ahead.
It's a high needs district with high needs students, and we are here for our students, doing everything we can to support them every day.
Okay, and I thank you both, and I wish you the best of luck in working through this impasse. John Sasaki is Director of Communications at the Oakland Unified School District, and Deirdre Snyder is Treasurer of the Oakland Education Association. We also spoke with Michael Kurse, former President of the California State Board of Education. And we have another hour of Forum up ahead. Stay tuned for that. Mary Nessel will be joining us, and we're going to talk about food and food policy and food research. And that's next. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis. On view through April 14th, Blue and Yellow Corridor, an iconic work by Bruce Newman, realized on the very grounds where the artist conceived it.